So this morning, I want to talk to you real briefly about giving thanks. You know, Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and so Thanksgiving has been on my heart. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments, and then we're going to close service today with communion. And I think you'll see why we're doing it at the end of the message, okay? But first, I want to just talk to you this morning about the power and the importance of thanksgiving, especially as it relates to prayer, all right? Because thanksgiving has everything to do with the ability to pray faith-filled prayers that God answers. There has to be thanksgiving in there. And so I want us to look, first of all, at Philippians 4, verse 6. Paul is writing here, and he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Man, that's pretty good advice, isn't it, right there? Don't worry, right? Pray. And so I also know this, it's much easier said than done at times, right? But it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Thank Him for all that He has done. And so when you and I are in prayer, I want us to know this morning that thanksgiving is a very, very important part of our prayers when it comes to how you and I can approach the throne room of God. And so what I want to do over the next few moments is I just want to give you three reasons why thanksgiving is so important when we pray, all right? Number one is thanksgiving is the way we enter into God's presence. Psalms 100, and I love this Psalms because it just talks about thanksgiving, but it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness, or serve the Lord with gladness, depending on what version you might be reading. But you know, I think that if anybody should be happy, it should be believers, right? I mean, if you're serving the Lord and there should be a smile on your face, right? There should be joy in your heart if you're serving the Lord, because as we serve the living God who is worthy of our praise, we have to understand that He's at work in our lives and He's watching over us. And I think that there's probably no worse advertisement for a Christian or Christianity than a sad, down-in-the-dump Christian. Amen. And those that can't even muster up a smile if they wanted to. You see, I know that God wants us to be full of His Spirit, right? He wants to be full of His Spirit. And so then you and I, if we're full of His Spirit, we should walk around with the joy of the Lord, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And so if you're full of the Spirit, you should be joyful in your walk with Him. And so I just want to encourage you today to be full of the Spirit and let that joy of the Lord just overflow through your life. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, it says, enter His gates with, say it with me, thanksgiving, and go into His courts with praise, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. Amen. And so we need to understand that thanksgiving and praise are not the same. And I know sometimes it's easy to get those confused, and a lot of people think of them as the same, but they're really not. And so I want to give you two definitions or a definition of each one of these. To me, thanksgiving is thanking God for what He has done. Okay, like acknowledging God, you did this, and you did this. And praise is acknowledging God for who He is. It's for who He is. Like, God, You are great. You are powerful. You are loving. You are merciful. You're the forgiver of our sins. You're the one that created this earth with Your outstretched hand. You see the difference there? You see, there's a difference in praise and thanksgiving. One is acknowledging who He is, and the other is acknowledging what He has done, especially as it relates to life. And so, I can tell you this, that we're not supposed to just barge into the presence of the Lord. I know sometimes we go to the Lord in an emergency prayer, and, oh, God, I need, you know, but when you're in your actual prayer time, Did you know you were not supposed to just barge into his presence? We're not. And so we're supposed to be coming in with a thankful heart. And I think that a lot of believers make this mistake when you're in this prayer time. And I think that what happens when we just barge in and we just start telling God, this is what I want and this is what I need. And God, I want to do this and heal this and start doing those things. I think a lot of times it just sucks the joy out of our prayer life. And so, but when we come in and we're giving thanks to him, it comes in a whole different way. You know, we're entering into his gates with thanksgiving. So you begin to thank him for what he's done. And you begin to thank him. You can thank him for your family. You can thank him for your job. You can thank him for your friends. You can thank him for your home. You can thank him for your car. You can thank him for your health. You can thank him for your church. You can even thank him for your pastor. I mean, you can thank the Lord for a lot of things, all kinds of things that you can thank him for. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to practice this discipline of entering in with thanksgiving. And so when you come into his presence, into the presence of the Lord, try to think of at least 10 things. Try to think of at least 10 things to thank him for before you begin to start asking him for all the things that we need, all the things that we want. But give him praise and thanks. And so spend that first time of your prayer just thanking the Lord. And just acknowledging what he's done in your life. Amen? And here's what that's going to do for you. And here's why I believe that it's so important. Is because it shifts our thinking from the realities of earth to the realities of heaven. It'll shift your mindset. You know, if we're going to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, then we have to be able to think in terms of his will and in his kingdom, right? And thanksgiving causes us to think from his perspective regarding the things in our life. And it also, what it's going to do is it's going to help us to stop thinking about our problems and we start thinking about our God. Amen? And what do you want to put your thoughts on? Do you want to put it on our God or you want to put it on your problems? We can choose. God gives us free will, right? And I think that a lot of times we can come into prayer so overwhelmed by our problems and by our situations that we spend all of our time just talking about the problem and trying to come up with a solution somehow, trying to talk God into solving this problem the way I want it solved, God. If you'd just do this, Lord, I think everything would work out, right? But instead, we need to come in faith, trusting God himself to solve the problem for us. That's why we're going to him anyways, right? We recognize we have a problem we can't handle. And we need a God that's bigger than us to handle our problems. So we come to him with the problem. And let's have faith enough to believe that, hey, I can lay this at his feet and I can thank him for it. That it's already done, that he's moving on my behalf, on your behalf, because we've laid it at the foot of Jesus. And so it's easy sometimes for us to come in and have our focus on our problems instead of trusting God in faith to solve that problem on our behalf. And thanksgiving, I believe, is what makes the difference here. You see, we need to be careful when we're in our prayer time so that we're not thinking more about that problem. Instead, we're talking to God and thanking him for the solution that he's already sending on its way. And thanksgiving does that because it positions our heart to do that. Amen? The second thing that I want us to look at today is thanksgiving builds our faith as we acknowledge his work in our life. Wow. You see, let's look at this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So our life needs to be a life that's constantly rejoicing and celebrating and thanking God for the work that he's doing in our lives. And like, God, we rejoice this morning because who you are. Because of what you've done this morning and what you're doing in our lives. We come to you thankful this morning because of your presence. We thank you this morning because of your answers to our prayers. And when we do this, it becomes a source of joy in our prayer life and in our life. And so God has designed prayer to be a means of joy in the life of a believer. I get a lot of joy whenever I get to wake up in the morning and go out with my Bible and sit on my porch and watch the sun come up and read His Word and get into His presence and begin to pray. I get a lot of joy from that. And I can tell you the mornings that I don't get to do that, I get sad. I protect that time really hard. I try real hard to protect those moments, that few moments in the morning, to where I can have that time with Him, because that's where I receive my joy. It comes from His Word. And Jesus said this. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." Why? He said, "So that your joy might be full." So there it is right there. Ask and you'll receive. Why? So that your joy might be full. God designed prayer to be an effective means for us, not only to bringing His power into the circumstances of our life, but it also brings joy into our heart. And so in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And I know over the last 4 weeks, if you'll remember, we talked a lot about the will of God, didn't we? We just did this whole series on God's will. And God's will, we found out, is for us to be holy, right? And it's more about a who than it is a do. And God is more interested in who you are than what you do. And so it's more about a position of our heart when we come into His presence. It's positioning our heart. And not only that, but it's the condition of our heart when we enter into His presence. Like, are we spending enough time with God? Are we reading His Word? Are we drawing close to Him? How is your prayer life this morning? You don't need to answer that to me. Answer it to yourself and think about that. So how much time are we spending in God's presence? Because that's where our joy is going to come from. Through His Word, reading and praying. And you know, if you want to hear God speak, I mean, if you want to know what God is saying, you need to read God's Word. And if you want to hear God say it out loud, you need to read God's Word out loud. Amen? Because that's how God is going to speak to us most of the time. And so we need to lean into Him so that we can hear His voice whenever He whispers to us. Amen? And can I tell you that when you'll do that part of God's will, if you'll do that part of the will of God, then the rest of it is all going to take care of itself. Thanksgiving positions us to not only be aware of what God has done in our life, but it gives us an awareness of what God is doing in our life and wants to do in our life. And then all of a sudden, for me anyways, it becomes easier to pray with faith, knowing that God's going to answer, that God's going to hear my prayer. Amen. Number three, let's look at this really quick. It says, thanksgiving sanctifies and purifies things in life. All right? 1 Timothy 4:1-5 says this. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith." That means there's going to be people that believe, people that are sitting amongst us, that are going to walk away from their faith whenever times get tough. And it says they'll be giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. So what they're doing is they're listening to the lies of the devil, and it's causing them to walk away. And I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want you to be one of those people. And it says, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. What this is talking about here is people that are making up their own religion as they go along. So they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit about how they're living and the things that they're doing. But they say, you know what? I want it more than I want God. And I'm going to continue to do it because it makes me feel good, or it's what I want, or it's the thing that I'm desiring, or I don't see anything wrong with it. I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I'm doing it anyways because this is what's inside of me. And all of a sudden, your conscience gets seared like a hot iron, the Bible says. And it doesn't bother you anymore. Those things, those little sins, those little thoughts, those little looks, those glances, whatever it might be that used to bother you, like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thought that. You know, I'm sorry I let that in my mind. Eventually, you look at it enough and you do those things enough that all of a sudden your conscience is seared over and you don't hear that convicting spirit anymore. And so it says in the last days that their own conscience will be seared like a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. If it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know what the good news about that is? That means that you don't have to pass up on bacon as long as you bless it, right? And I'm a bacon lover. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's what it's saying here. And so the idea of abstaining from foods right here and what he's talking about, some of that has to do with food that was offered up to idols, okay? And Paul isn't saying that the food offered to idols is powerless. What he's saying is that when you combine thanksgiving with the word and prayer, that combination is powerful enough that it can deauthorize the evil that's attached to that food, and that food becomes holy because it's sanctified and it's set apart for the glory and the purpose of God. Amen? And so thanksgiving also has that same effect, sanctifying effect on our lives. Just like it did on the food in the Bible, it has that same sanctifying effect on our lives. When we take thanksgiving and we begin to do the same thing, we mix it with the word of God and prayer, what happens? What happens is it deauthorizes the evil that's working in the areas of our life. Because if you remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so we have to understand that the battle that we're facing is not against the person at work that has it out for you. It's the principalities and the spirits behind that. You see, it's not just against the different circumstances that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, but there are some demonic forces out there. They're at work in our lives at various moments throughout the day. In fact, as I'm talking to you this morning, you may be sitting there and you're in a situation where you know that the enemy is attacking you. And so it's important that we give thanks to the Lord and that we have his word and our time in prayer happening in our life on a daily basis so that we can overcome these spiritual forces that come against us. And when you do that, what it does is it sanctifies that situation that you're in. Amen? In other words, what it's going to do is it's going to deauthorize the devil and it stops the work of the enemy. The enemy could be coming against your marriage. The enemy could be coming against your family, your relationships. And I have no idea what's happened here. There we go. I can't get my notes to go. Anyways, so it can be coming against all kinds of things in your life to where we don't understand what's going on. And so we have to recognize that the devil is going to attack us in so many different ways. The devil attacks us in our thought life so many times, doesn't he? You're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off, and that thought life comes in, doesn't it? You know? And you know what? The devil wants nothing more than to kill, steal, and destroy us, is what God's word says. But whenever we begin to give thanks and we begin to pray and begin to read God's word, then the darkness is defeated. Amen? And so I'm giving you some steps here on how to defeat the devil in your life. And that's through thanksgiving, through the word of God, and through prayer. If you want to defeat the devil, do those three things. I can tell you, he'll be defeated in Jesus' name. And it's This place is where God is sanctifying the presence of the Lord, and he sets us apart so that we can fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. And so whenever we do that, it builds our faith, and it leads to a joy and a strength in our life that we haven't had before. And so when we begin to find the power of thanksgiving in our life, it'll be an incredible moment for you. Whenever you begin to thank him, you'll begin to see that, man, God is deauthorizing the enemy to even attack you, to work in your life against you. He's fighting the battle for you. How many of you know that the battle is not ours? It's his. And he is already fighting on our behalf. Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And so as we come to a close in the word today, I want you to grab your communion sacraments. Did everybody get some? If you don't, raise your hand and they'll come by and give you some. We have several hands here. We're going to get you your sacraments here. Go ahead and open them up. Don't take them yet, but let's go ahead and get the bread and get the juice ready. Still hands up. I'm going to wait until everybody gets one. Could you play me some music, please? Some soft worship music. I don't know about you, but for me, communion, it's special. Because when I remember what my Savior did for me, I say that all the time. I think, Lord, me? Why me? Why would you choose me? And he says, I love you. That's why. So if you're like me and you're sitting there and you're thinking, Lord, me? It's because he loves you. He loves you this morning. So if you would, I want us to understand communion is thanksgiving. Some people call it the Eucharist, which means it's thanking him for the bread and for the cup. When I think about this, I know that everything that I just talked about, thanksgiving, all of that, it's bound up in this right here. This is thanksgiving. You can't help but to remember. When you remember what he did, you can't help to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you loved us enough, that you sent your son to die on a cross and to shed his blood and to have his body broken so that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. You can't help it. This is all bound up into thanksgiving. This morning, everything that I said in this message is right here in this bread and this cup. And this is part of why we typically do this at the beginning of service, is because we want to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And normally we do this at the beginning, but I wanted to set us up for this moment right here. And I pray that this moment would be sanctified, and that it would be special to you this morning, between you and God, not between me and you or anybody else, but let this be special this morning between you and your Savior, the one that died for you. Say that, Jesus, you died for me. If you believe that, we're fixing to give him thanks in this. Remembering what he did, you see, it tells us how much that he loves us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? And to me, that builds my faith. I pray that it builds yours. You see, we're aligning ourselves with the purpose of God. We're remembering what he did and what he's called us to do. Not just what he did, but what he's calling you to do. Did you know he has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us? Not just me. He didn't just call me to Grace Point. He called you here too. You know, when we read 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, Paul is saying there that we participate in the body and the blood of Christ whenever we take communion. And this is thanksgiving when we hold the bread in our hand and we thank him for, I think of it in two ways, because this represents his body. This is symbolic of his body. And so we can look at that in two ways. We can look at it, one way we can look at it is as of his body, the righteous life that he lived that allows us to stand righteously before God. Because he took our unrighteousness upon him so that he could clothe you and I in his righteousness. Amen? And so whenever God sees you and I after Jesus has clothed us in his righteousness, then all he sees is righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And I know some of you, and I know I'm the same way. I say, well, man, there is just no way I'm that righteous. Well, humanly speaking, you're right. You can't be, and neither can I. But legally and judicially, God has wiped the record clean. Whenever he died and he broke his body and he spilled his blood on that cross, he said, it is finished. That means all your sins, all my sins, have been washed away and covered in the blood of the Lamb. We can also look at it in another way as the body of Christ. I'm so thankful for the body that is Grace Point Church. I'm so thankful for the body that is the church of God around the world, around the earth. I'm just so thankful that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. Amen. God loves you and I. If you will, hold your bread up and we're going to pray. Bow your heads and let's close our eyes this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. And Jesus, that you came and you lived a righteous life. You were without sin, but you were tempted in every way that we were tempted. And God, you gave your life for us so that we could be clothed in your righteousness. And we thank you this morning for your body. You may take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you will, take the cup. And then we give thanks for the cup. This is the cup of thanksgiving right here. Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. A new covenant in which your sins and my sins are totally gone. They're not there anymore. They've been covered by the blood of Jesus. I know there's some of you that are sitting there and you're thinking just like I used to think. There's no way he can forgive me of all of my sin. My sin is too bad. My sin is too great. Let me tell you this morning, if you're thinking that, what you're doing is you're denying the power of the blood. Whenever God spoke into my life forgiveness and I finally received his full forgiveness and I realized that his blood is so powerful, there is no sin greater than the power of his blood. Don't sit there this morning and think that your sin is too great, because all you're doing is disbelieving the power of the blood of Jesus. And his blood was spilt for you and I so that you and I, our sins could be forgiven and they could be covered. All we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is believe that his blood is powerful enough to cover each and every one of our sins. I'm so thankful that part of this covenant is also for our healing. I'm thankful that he's a healing God and that we can come before him this morning. And if you need healing, this is the perfect time to receive your healing when you receive the blood of Christ. in the body of Christ. You see, his body was broken, and it says that the stripes were on his back for our healing. It's part of the crucifixion. It's part of what we're remembering today, is that he not only died for our sins, but he died that we would have healing in our bodies. There's a book by Perry Stone, and it's called The Meal That Heals. And it's talking about the healing power of communion. And if you're needing healing, I would encourage you to get that book and to read that, and to see the miraculous power of God's blood is not only there to cover our sins, but it's to heal our bodies as well. And so we come before him this morning with thanksgiving for forgiveness of our sins and for the healing of our body and for the new covenant that was made, that we're adopted as sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Did you know that as a follower of Jesus, that you're a child of the King? You're a joint heir with Jesus this morning. You and I, one day, the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you came and you gave your life for us. You spilled your blood, Father, and we're remembering that this morning. And God, I thank you that you came the first time, and I thank you that you'll come again. You said that if I go away, that I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place, that where I am, that you may be also. And so, God, this morning, you're drawing us to you, Lord Jesus, so that you're preparing the way for us to be with you this morning. As we do this in remembrance of you, God, I pray this morning that we're fixing our eyes upon you. And as we fix our eyes upon you, it changes us to become more like you. And God, that's my prayer. Lord, make us more like you. Make us more like you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cup and this precious blood. There's an old hymn that says, it says, what could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so this morning, God, we thank you for this covenant. We thank you for your blood that you shed for us this morning, God. And Father, as we take and we receive this cup, we do it with thanksgiving. You may take the cup. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our time with you today. And I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would just spill it into our hearts and our minds today. And Father, this week is we sit down with our family and our friends and we give thanksgiving, Lord. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to have a new mindset that changes our way of thinking, Lord. And Father, that we'd keep our eyes fixed upon you and not on the things of this world. Because Father, we're looking for your soon return. We know that you're coming again and that you're going to receive us into your kingdom. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's not ready for that, if they don't know you as their Savior, I pray this morning, God, that they'll say, Jesus, I need you. And they'll ask you into their heart. And Lord, I know you'll forgive them because your blood was spilt for them just like it was for us. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. I give you glory and honor once again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen.